Whenever Dr. Austin asked me back around Winter Family Weekend if I would be willing to come and speak, the first question I had was, well, what is the theme of the weekend? Because always it's, as a speaker, it's always easy if you're given a theme or, you know, something that you can kind of tie into. And then I was told it was going to be knights, lords, and ladies. And so honestly, I had to think, it's like, I don't think there's a Bible verse that I can come up with on this one. Knights, lords, and ladies. Lords, yes, but that's going to be out of context. That's not going to work. So I kind of had to also then go back into my high school history, because part of me was also, well, what exactly was a knight, lord, and lady? So I went to my friend Google and did a little bit of history on it. And so those of you who are kind of like me, if you need a little refresher, in the Middle Ages, right? In the Middle Ages, the feudal system, everything began with the king or the queen, and everything moved towards them. And usually their friends or maybe family were given important titles and roles and property, and they became lords and ladies. And so they, again, were friends of the king and queen, reported to them, and they would take care of their land, and they would have people working with them, and then they would have knights that their job was to, again, make sure things were going well and make sure that the king and the queen were happy and were pleased. So as I did this little bit of study, what came to mind was royalty. And then that led me to a verse. So let's begin going to Revelation 1 as I kind of give you a little background as to where we're going to go with the message today and my thought process of where we'll end up. And it's in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and we will begin in verse 4. Revelation 1, and beginning in verse 4. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And so I was thinking about this, that, again, Jesus Christ is our king, and he says that he is going to make us kings and priests. And so as I was thinking about that, I began to be reminded of just how awesome that is. You know, we hear this, you know, if you were born, from the time you were born, if you were raised in the church, especially all of our young people here, we've heard this, you know, since the time that you were little, about God's kingdom and that kings and priests and what God has in store. But I think sometimes we don't really think about just how awesome that really is and what that means and what that promise is, that the creator of the universe is inviting each of you to be in his family and to live forever with him and with his son, and that they are offering that, and that they want us to be in their family, and that as the king, you know, in 1000 AD, when it, you know, in the feudal system, the king would just tell you what to do and you kind of had to do it. But God doesn't make us do this. He made us with free choice, so we can choose to live a life and to join him in his family forever, or we can choose not to. God gives us that choice. He wants us to choose, obviously, his way and to be in his family, but it is our choice. And so, you know, walking in today, there was an energy in the room, right? I think we all felt it. Anytime you get a lot of God's people together, and especially God's young people together, there's an energy. There's a noise. There's that, you know, we hear it at the feast. If you ever had a chance to go to camp, you hear it. Winter Family Weekend, all these different areas, that there's an energy and there's an excitement in the room of coming together. And I know our teens are very excited. You know, yeah, that the room over there, it's awesome looking room. It's going to be a great time tonight, and you're looking forward to that, and you're excited for that. And there's an energy about that. But I think it's also important that as we're talking today, and in our time together, what I decided and what I thought was thinking through was that using this as an opportunity to remind all of us in here to really think about what God is offering us and just how exciting that is. and how awesome that opportunity is that God is giving us. And that God, he's given us this emotion of excitement. And it's important that we stay excited about what God is offering us and about God's way of life. And sometimes when we're just kind of in the world, we can lose that excitement because there's all these things going on around us. But it's important that we keep that excitement. And it's why weekends like this and the feast and camps, it's why it's so important, because these weekends, I think, give us an opportunity to regenerate that excitement, to focus on what God wants us to do. And when we're excited about this, it's a lot easier to keep battling. It's a lot easier to work on our relationship with God. It's a lot easier to have to spend time in prayer and study when we're excited about this. We're excited about what God is offering us. And so we have this opportunity this weekend to reset, to refocus, to recommit to God's way. So as I was thinking, putting all this together, what also came to mind was the camp theme a couple of years ago. 2 years ago, the camp theme was Race to Your Crown. How many of you remember that theme? A lot of hands. I still think about that theme. I think from all the years of camp, it was one of my favorite themes. And I was thinking about that theme of Race to Your Crown. And how does that, what does that mean as far as this excitement and this energy and then what God is offering us? Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, because let's look at this verse that was the theme verse for camp 2 years ago. Because this verse will give us a really good hint of where we're going to go today and what we're going to talk about. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll begin in verse 1. Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us put aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And there are so many things in just this verse and a half here. You know, number one, we are told that we are being called to run in a long race that is set before each of us. Each of us has a race to run. But yet we have this example of all the people that has come before us. People famous in the Bible, people like Noah, Abraham, Daniel, David. Think of all your favorite Bible characters who have ran this race to God's kingdom. And so when we think about in the Bible, when we're told that God is calling each of us, and especially the young people, that God is calling you. He is calling you. Well, how does this connect to then to this running this race? Well, the first answer to that is, what is the objective of a race? The objective of a race is to finish the race, right? You don't start a race without the objective of thinking you're going to be able to finish. So that's the first, very most important thing. Let's go back a couple of books to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. So this is Paul, and Paul knows he's about to die. He's in prison because of his beliefs. And he knows he's about to be murdered because of that. And so he knows his time is very, very short. And so he's writing to Timothy, who was a very young man. And he says to him in verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." In other words, to all of those who will come after him, including us, who run the race. And he says that he had finished the race. He had fought the good fight, and he finished the race. So the objective of the race that God is calling us into is to finish. When Jesus Christ returns, when we rise and meet in the air, when we become spirit beings, when we become parts, members of his family, that's finishing the race. But what about all the things before that? What happens during this race? And that's really the purpose of this message today, is I want us to talk about what it actually means to run God's entire race. What does this mean to you? What actions do you have to take to join the race, to run it, and to finish it? And so there are many in this room as we go through this that are in the race right now. And I hope as we go through this, that this will also allow you an opportunity to think back to different times, different struggles, and also receive motivation and excitement and a chance to refocus as well. But especially for all the young people here who are listening, this message is for you. And it's because I believe, and this is the assumption that I have made and I'm going off of, is that each of you young people in this room, you want to run this race. It's why you're here today. You're not here because of the dance tonight. You're here because you know this is where you belong. And that you get to see your friends that belong. And that deep down you have the same goals. And you have the same desire to finish the race. But maybe there's some uncertainty as to, well, what does that mean, though? What is this race? And so that's what I want to talk about today and the rest of our time together. And so how I want to do this, and this came to me because I imagine some of you were at Winter Family Weekend, and there were several presentations, and I gave one of these little presentations. And I talked a little bit about one section of a race that I ran. And so that was on my mind when Dr. Oss asked me. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to share with you my experience running an actual race. It was a half marathon. And as we go through all through this process, as we go through this, as I share with you this story of me running this race, I think you're going to see some parallels and analogies that we can take out of this so that we can understand what it means to run the race that God has planned out for you. What you can expect during the race, how do you get into the race, and how do you finish the race? Because we're all here knowing that ultimate goal, we want to be in God's family, because that's what it's all about. The things that you give up in life, the things that you don't do, it's because you want to be in God's family. That's the finish line. So how do we get there? That's where we're going today. All right. This story is from 9 years ago. I had turned 40 a year or so before that, and I decided that I wanted to try to run another half marathon. So when I was 12 or so, my dad got us all into racing. And so I did a lot of 5Ks and 10Ks growing up. And in my 30s, I did a couple of half marathons. And so but time had went by. Like I said, I turned 40. So I kind of had this desire in my mind, I think I want to run another half marathon. Now, for many of you here, you're already thinking, this guy's crazy. Why? Who wants to run 13 miles? This is you know, insane. So I'm that guy, right? I know. But I think I want to run in another race. So I started researching. Well, if I want to do this, like, where do I want to go? Because the other marathons that I'd ran, it was kind of a chance for Betsy and I to go to kind of a neat place and, you know, get out of town for the weekend. So I started investigating, and I found this race that was going to happen in a few months, that was in a place that we could go to. And really, honestly, what caught my eye is they had the medal on the website that you were going to get. And I was like, that's a cool medal. Like, I want that medal. I want to put that in my office with all my other medals and stuff. And so I was like, I think I'm going to sign up to run that race. I want to do that. Now, I knew, though, before I went on, I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to change some things, right? I can't eat ice cream constantly, right, if I'm going to train for a race, right? I love ice cream. I would like to do that. But it's like, all right, I'm going to have to give that up, right? I'm going to have to get some sleep. I'm going to have to train. I can't just show up and run 13 miles. So I knew that if I was going to commit and sign up for this race, that I was going to have to make some changes. to do this. So I thought through the process, and I was like, all right, I think I want to do this. So I went in, I signed up. I paid my money. I booked some airfare. I booked hotels, right? I was committed. Began the training process. I was locked in, right? I was committed to running this race. God is looking for a commitment from each of us. And when we make that commitment, it means we are telling God we are willing to give up things for him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll start in verse 26. That we're going to give up certain things, and but that we're also going, that we understand what we're getting into. Right? I knew that if I was signing up for a half marathon, I was going to have to do some things, right? I was going to start training. There was things I was going to have to do. It's the same with God's committing to God's race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's start in verse 26. This is Paul again saying, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So Paul says, I knew what I was getting into. When I was running this, I was just kind of all over the place. I knew what was expected of me. I knew what God wanted me to do. I had a focused plan, but I had a discipline. It's just not going to magically happen. Paul says, I had to put in the work. I had to focus. I had to have that relationship with God. I had to do these things. Because he said, because his biggest fear was, what if I don't finish the race? What if I'm out here helping people, instructing people, but then if I mess up and somehow I don't finish the race, like that's the worst possible thing. Because remember, the ultimate goal of a race is to finish. So God is looking to see if we are willing to make a commitment to him. And when we make a commitment, we join the race. We have a word for this commitment. And that word is baptism. If you want to join in the race, the commitment must be made. There are many in this room that you've made that commitment. And it began with baptism. When you knew that this race is what you wanted to run. When you knew that everything in this world did not stand up to what God was offering you. And that you were willing to give things up. And so Jesus himself says that the only way into this race, which leads to the finish line, which leads to life forever with him, is through baptism. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we'll see this, verse 3. John 3 and verse 3. So this was when Nicodemus, right? Nicodemus came. He was a ruler of the Jewish people. It was at nighttime because he was kind of being secretive. And he comes to Jesus and kind of wants to learn more. And Jesus immediately tells him, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And of course, Nicodemus didn't understand this because he was like, well, how can I, I'm a grown man. How can I be born again? He didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And we learn what this means is through baptism. Because we know through baptism is we put our old person, our old man and the old woman to death when we're in that water and we go under and we come up a new man. Jesus says you have to be born again. You have to be baptized to enter into this race, to be eligible to be in his family forever. Now, this sermon is not all about baptism, but it is the beginning point. It is the beginning point. It is the very first step. It's not the last step. It's how you register for the race. And I'll tell you a couple secrets. You do not have to know this book backwards and forwards to be baptized. It's not a requirement. You don't have to be perfect to be baptized. In fact, when you realize you aren't perfect, you're on the right track. To be baptized means that you recognize that you want to be in this race because you want to live with God and with Jesus Christ forever. And that's the starting point. The hard work starts after baptism. I'll also tell you that. Baptism is kind of the easy part. It was easy for me just to sit there on my couch, on my laptop, and register for the race, give them my credit card. That was the easy part. I had to then go out and start training, start living, start, and then go run the race. Another secret, Satan doesn't want you to join this race. He didn't want any of us to join this race. It's why when you're in this race, things get difficult. But Satan does not want you in this race. He is going to do everything he can through this world to throw different things out at you to make you think that these things are better than God's promise. And he's really good at it. He's really good at it. And sometimes, especially as a young person, I remember this, sometimes things appear on the surface, well, maybe that's a better option. I can't see God's kingdom. It's just something that I've heard about forever. I can't see it. I guess it's there. And so Satan throws these different things out, and they look on surface like, well, maybe that's an option. I'll tell you this, it's not an option. There's nothing in this world, worth trading your future as a king and a priest for. Absolutely nothing. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear. But again, you can't run the race without committing. You can't do it. I thought of this story earlier this week, and let me kind of deviate off. It's another running story. So this was several years ago. We were going to Camp Colorado to work that camp, and we went into Estes Park a day or so early so we could go to Rocky Mountain National Park and just kind of hang out. If you've ever been to Estes Park and all this, it's beautiful. So I remember we checked into the hotel, and I think it was like a Saturday evening, and there was like a flyer on the wall that the next day there was a race. They were having a marathon and a 10K in Estes Park. So I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I'm going to run in this race. So I remember kind of going online, but it was too late. Registration was closed. I couldn't sign up. But I told y'all earlier, I was kind of weird. I told Betsy, I was like, well, I know where it starts. I know the time. Like, I'm just going to go show up. You know, the roads will be closed. I can run. You know, I think it was a 10K. I would run around all Estes Park, see the scenery, the animals, and I'm just going to show up and run. She's like, you're crazy. Like, you know, that makes no sense, but okay, whatever you want to do. So I woke up early that Sunday morning, and I went to the starting line, and it's cold, right? Even in June, it's cold, so everybody's kind of got pullovers over, and so no one can see that I don't have my official number and race bib on. And so the gun goes off, and I just run along with everybody. And beautiful scenery, you know, saw elk, mountains, crisp morning. It was great. And then we get about 200 yards from the finish line, and I realize I can't cross that finish line. I'm not in this race. Like, I'm not registered. Because when you cross the finish line, there's a party, you know, there's a party, right? Here's your, like, chocolate milk, which is my favorite after a race, and there's things going on. I can't cross that finish line. I'm not registered. So I literally peel off into the parking lot. And I'm sure people are looking at me like, who is this weird? What is going on? But I peeled off because I can't cross the finish line. I'm not registered for the race. I ran the 6 miles, but I didn't get anything because I wasn't registered. You have to commit to running the race. And that commitment is baptism. And we're not just going to start running around. I don't have a baptism pool behind me. We're going to start doing baptism now. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if you know that being in God's kingdom is what you want and that you're willing to do whatever it takes to be there, if you know that, then it's time to sign up. Meaning, go talk to your pastor. Go talk to an elder at your local church that you're close with and say, I want to start counseling. I want to start learning what does this all mean? How do I get in this race? Because you can't finish if you're not registered. I learned that. All right. But remember, once you sign up, the only acceptable conclusion is you have to finish. That's why we say it is the most important decision you'll make in your life. Because there's only one solution. There's only one conclusion that's acceptable. You have to finish. So let's talk about now the rest. What is this race going to look like? What are you going to come across? So training went great. It's race day. I'm excited. There's like 20,000 people running in this race. It's big. Marathon, half marathon. I'm official. I have a bib on this time. I'm official. I'm excited. There's energy. There's an excitement, right? We'd all signed up. We're all in this. And I will say, whenever you're baptized, that initial, like, there's a lot of energy. When you receive God's Holy Spirit, there's energy that comes behind that, and you're excited, and you feel like you can conquer the world. And so I feel good. I'm my training. I'm in my spot. Everything's good. The gun goes off, and this is when it gets hard, because especially early on, there is a lot of distractions that can happen to you. I was not running a 100-yard dash. I was running 13 miles. And so I couldn't go out too fast. I would burn up. I'd burn all my energy up. And so the distractions, though, were everywhere, because there was bands playing and there's lots of people there cheering. And so people are just like, you know, they're sprinting by me. Got people in costume. I promise a banana ran by me. Promise. It was a guy in a banana suit and he runs by me. And I'm like, am I going that slow? A banana just passed me. Like, okay, this shocked my world. But no, I was like, no, I stay focused, Matthew. This is the pace you need to be. This, ignore that. Ignore the banana. And there's also maneuvering. There's lots of people around. You can easily get tripped. If you trip and fall, and that's going to make the next 12 and a half miles really hard. And so the amount of focus is very important, and you have to trust your game plan. You have to trust that your training and the knowledge that you have is going to get you through this part. And you cancel out all the noise that's around you. When you sign up to run the race and you're in it, you have to keep your focus. You have to keep your focus. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And sometimes we think of losing focus as just kind of going off the deep end, right? And like, oh man, they're not keeping the Sabbath anymore. They're not doing this. Yeah, that is losing focus, but that's not the only way to lose focus. We can lose our focus even doing good things. So that's why I want to bring up this verse here, these verses here. This is in Luke chapter 10. The story starts in verse 38. Mary and Martha, who are the sisters of Lazarus, if you remember them, friends of Jesus. Well, Mary and Martha, they invite Jesus and the disciples over to their home for dinner, right? This happens all the time, God's people, right? Come over for dinner. And it says in verse 39 that her sister Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he was talking about. And in verse 40, it says Martha was distracted with much serving. So that's a key word. She was distracted. But not with anything bad. She was serving. She was the hostess. She was making sure people had, you know, drinks and the food was set up. She was doing all these good things. And it says she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I think we can all understand that. Like, hey, I'm doing all the work. She's just sitting there. Like, help, tell her to help me. I'd like to sit there too, but like, somebody's got to run this. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus told Martha, no, I'm not going to tell Mary to come help, because she is focused on what's really important. It wasn't if there was enough food or drink. It was the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was there teaching. That was the priority. Everything else was secondary to that. Mary was focused on that finish line. And she didn't get distracted with what was going on around her. Our life, as you're running in this race, There's going to be distractions. And there's going to be things that if we aren't careful, you will lose focus. And so you have to be very careful to maintain that focus. Know where you're going. And don't take any side roads that get you off that path. Stay focused, as it said in Hebrews 12, right? Looking to Jesus Christ. That's where our eyes are. That's where our focus is. Because again, we only have one purpose. You know, it was always interesting to see after a few miles, I would slowly start catching people that I recognized who had sprinted by me at the beginning. And many times they were already just a few miles in, they were struggling. You know, some of them were walking. I remember catching Banana Guy really quick. It did not take long, surprisingly. He wasn't really, you know, trained for that, for this race. But I remember seeing people walking because they had went out too fast. They'd got distracted. They let other things affect them. And so some were already walking. And so I'd always thought in my head, it's like, man, did they even finish? They took the time to sign up, to pay their entry fee. They got to the destination. I mean, I'm sure that they spent money and time, and I'm sure they probably trained. And if they're already walking at 2 or 3 miles, like, did they even finish? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. This can happen to us as Christians. This can happen even after you've been baptized, even after you've committed to the race as you're in it. Galatians 5 and verse 7. Paul says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" You ran well. Who hindered you? He was saying, why are you distracted? Why are you not on the course anymore? Why are you walking? You were running well. Things were going okay. What happened? I think many of us who are older, we probably, as you're sitting here, you know people in your life that quit the race. They started walking and got distracted, and they have quit the race. Again, that's why we say whenever you are deciding to join the race that you know the only conclusion is you have to finish the race. And the only way to do that is you have to stay focused on what God's promise is. And everything that you do in life, that's the number one priority. That's your focus. The career that you choose, the school that you go to, the person that you start dating and marry, it all has to be based on, will this keep me focused on getting to God's kingdom? Because that's number one. And if you run into something in life that like, oh man, that's a great opportunity, that's a great school, that's whatever that is. Oh, he's really cute. She's pretty, right? Not if it's going to get you on the wrong road. So remember that. There's going to be distractions. There's going to be things that are going to try to pull you out of this race. But you have to say no. Keep moving forward. So another few miles go by. This is about 6-7 miles in, so about halfway. And I remember this race course was one of those that the start and the finish was basically in the same area. So you kind of ran out 6 or 7 miles and then turned and came back. So I remember about 6 or 7 miles. And again, there was 15, 20,000 people. As you get into it, all you see in front of you is just thousands of people. Thousands of people in front of you. And for me, kind of being a competitive person, I start going, man, I'm not doing very good. Like, look at all these people that are better and faster than me. They probably train better. Like, I'm probably last, right? I mean, because that's all I see is all these people in front of me. And so the doubt kind of starts setting in, right? Am I going to finish? Can I do this? Should I even be doing this, right? But then I remember making the turn. And when I made the turn, I could kind of look over my, you know, to my right. And all I saw for miles behind me were people running. Now, I'll be honest, the competitive carnal side of me was like, all right, I'm doing pretty good. Like, I'm faster than all these people. There's no spiritual analogy to that. That's just me being carnal and wrong. The other thought that came to my mind was, we are all in this together. Look at all these people out here running this race in their own way, but all of us with the same goal, was to get to that finish line. And that I wasn't alone in this race. I wasn't alone in the struggle. Kind of the kind of aches and things I was starting to feel, there's 20,000 other people doing the same thing. I wasn't in this. Know that sometimes in this journey that you're on, the race that you're on, know that you're going to have times where you're going to feel very inadequate. You're going to feel like, maybe I'm not doing so good in this race right now. Should I even have done this? Did God really want me? Like, I'm a mess. You're going to think, man, look at everyone else. They're obviously a better Christian than I am. They don't have any problems. They look really good in their suit, their dress. Like, they got it together. They're a better Christian than I am. No one understands what I'm going through. No one understands what I'm going through. They don't understand what's happening at school or at work or in my family. I'm by myself. I'm all by myself in this. And you know what? Maybe you are in some areas. Maybe you're the only one in your school that believes the way you do. I remember I was the only kid in my school. Maybe you're the only one at work or in your neighborhood, or maybe you're the only one in your family that is in this race, that has this mission, that has this goal in life. But don't let doubt creep in when this part of the race pops up. And remember that you are not alone in this race. You are not alone in this race. This is why, again, I think these weekends are so important. Because sometimes sometimes we forget. We kind of get caught up in our own feelings, right? But we forget that there are other members, future members of God's family all around us, living the same way, experiencing the same things, in the same race. Again, that's why these weekends are awesome. When there's so many young people, you can get together and you see that you are not by yourself. When you look around the room and you see people with the same end goal in mind, the same focus, the same mission, running the same race or wanting to get into that race. It's powerful. It's powerful because one of our jobs is to support each other in this race. I was joking that, you know, I was like, hey, I'm beating y'all, right? We're not beating each other in this race. We are helping each other in this race. And that is a responsibility that we all have, especially those of us who are in this race already, to support each other, but to support those that are wanting to get into this race. John 13, let's go there. John 13. Sharing the experience of what the race feels like, what it looks like, why it's worth getting into the race, all these things. John 13, beginning in verse 34. These two verses are some of my favorite passages. It's Jesus Christ, a few hours from being arrested, knowing the death that he was going to suffer. And he says to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." We have to have love for one another. And that means helping each other in this race. No one gets left behind. No one walks, right? No one starts veering off. When we see it, no, we're pulling them back. You're in this race. You're going to run the next few miles with me. In these friendships that you are forming, in the bonds that you're forming now, Those will last you a lifetime. And you'll be able to lean on each other in your race as you're going through these things. Because you're not in it. You're not in it by yourself. So I get past this point, and things are pretty good. It's kind of that last 4 or 5 miles, and the marathoners had already had went one direction, so things kind of had thinned out. So I got plenty of room. No one's like kind of, I'm not afraid of tripping or falling or anything like that. I'm feeling pretty good. My time is right where I want it to be, and I was feeling pretty good. I mean, it was just me and the road at this point. In my mind, I'm like, nothing can stop me now, right? I've got maybe 3 miles left. And if for those who were at Winter Family Weekend, if you heard it, this you'll maybe remember some of this. Mile 10, that all changed. In just a blink of an eye, I suddenly had a mental meltdown. I was mentally done. I didn't want to go one more step. I was questioning everything. These are real thoughts. I was like, you're an idiot, Matthew. Why are you running 13 miles? No one's chasing you. Like, no one's chasing you. There's not a bear. There's not a guy with a gun. You chose to run 13 miles? This is stupid. Quit. Stop. That was going on in my head. And I even thought, just get an Uber. Like, that was a real thought. Like, I can just get an Uber. It'll take me back to the hotel. That would have been weird. Betsy's, she's at the finish line. She knew when I was going to be there. And if I pull up in an Uber and get out, that's going to be a weird explanation. Not to mention all the race people are like, why is a guy getting out of an Uber, that would have been weird. But that was a thought that went through my head because I was over this. I was done. But then the other side of my kind of brain kicked in, thankfully, and it was like, whoa, wait a second. You're almost through. Like, you've already went 10 miles. You only have 3 miles left. You've ran 3 miles like thousands of times in your life. It's 3 miles. You trained for this. Like, if you quit, all that was for nothing. And then I thought about my medal. I was like, and you won't get the cool medal. The whole point of that you signed up for this race is because you wanted that medal. You won't get a medal. Why? But the other side's like, quit, Uber, whatever. It was the most difficult 3 miles that I had ever ran in my life. Because each step was like, all right, keep going or stop. Can I get to the finish line? In the Christian life, in the race that we run, and those of you who are in this race now, you'll agree. Hopefully you'll agree. Know that you will be at a point in time where you feel like everything is going really good. Man, I am spiritually strong. Prayer life's great. This is great. Everything feels good. And then something will happen out of nowhere that'll knock you off your feet. A massive trial, a persecution, a sin, health, whatever it is, something will come out of nowhere and just knock you down. How many of you have had that in your life? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But the key is, how do we handle these things? Because God can prevent these things from happening. Again, we have an enemy. We have an enemy who doesn't want you in the race, and then when you decide to get in the race, it just makes him really mad. And then his purpose is, let me see if I can get them to quit. And so God allows it to happen so that he can see, will we quit or will we push through? Because the awesome promise that he is offering us to live forever, think about it, to live forever with him, it's not easy. And so things happen. Will we keep fighting? Will we keep pushing through? Do we stay focused? Do we rely on God? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. In those times that happen in my life, I think of Romans 8 and verse 18. There's other scriptures, but this one always stands out, and it's a reminder. Romans 8 and verse 18. Again, Paul, I mean, Paul's went through a lot, right? Remember, shipwrecked, he's stoned, he's arrested. I mean, all these things that he went through in his life. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Paul says, all these hard things that are going on now, when Jesus actually returns and we are spirit and we're family members with God, this stuff will be meaningless. We won't even remember. Well, yeah, what was that hard time in high school? Or what was that, you know, what was that difficult job? What was that when that health thing? I mean, it's just going to be this little memory in the past that doesn't matter. Once we're past the finish line. And again, it's hard because our minds can't fathom that. They can't. I can't. Maybe you can, but I can't fathom what forever is going to be like. It blows my mind away. I can't think past tomorrow, but forever? Like, I don't know what that's going to be like, but I know that it's something I don't want to miss out on. And that's what Paul is saying here. I pushed myself through those last 3 miles, and I crossed the finish line. And I'll tell you, the moment that I crossed the finish line, it was suddenly all worth it. The first thing that happened was there was a lady standing there, and she put this around my neck. The medal that I saw on the website, that was like, that's really cool. It spins, it kind of glows, it's kind of cool. She puts it around my neck, and it was all worth it. I didn't remember that those last 3 miles and that mental kind of torment that was going on. There was a band playing, all the chocolate milk I wanted, real bananas that you could eat, not the pretend guy, orange. I mean, it was there. I finished. It was a party. Betsy, see her. She comes walking over. I give her a hug, but she pushes me off because I'm kind of hot and sweaty. I finished. And everything that I'd went through, it was worth it. And I can tell you, I was so glad I didn't call an Uber. Right? Looking back on that, how silly would that have been? To have been so close to went through all this and just to quit? Or not to have registered, like at that time in Colorado? I didn't have to peel off at the last second in this one. I got to cross that finish line. I got my medal. Again, how much more will it be worth it when Jesus Christ returns? When we meet him in the sky? When we're given our crown and we're welcomed into his family? How awesome is that? I mean, I just think that's awesome. That's what we're running for. That's what we're running for. And it seems so silly that we would give up something else for that. Right? It just seems, when you think about it that way, it's just silly. Oh, well, there's a really good party on Friday night. Oh, well, it doesn't compare, right? So that was the story of my race. I will say, I have never ran another race since then. That last 3 miles did me in. I was like mentally done, and I don't want to go back to that place. I still run, but just me and my earbuds, and I can stop whenever I want and walk, and there's no penalty. But on that day, I finished that race. Remember, there is nothing more important in your life than becoming a child of God. Nothing. No matter what the world is telling you, there is nothing more important than that. It's why you were made. It's why you are here. And again, there's plenty of counterfeits. There's distractions. And they're put there to lead you away, to either prevent you from running the race, from signing up in the first place, or once you're in it, for getting you to quit. But again, just remember the goal, the finish line, and that there's nothing worth quitting the race for. So my prayer for all of you, all of us here, is that We're going to leave this weekend motivated, excited, renewed in your desire and your commitment to finish your race, to cross the finish line and receive your crown.